KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, it's mostly clear, and we're at 53 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today, a high of 72, with winds out of the southwest at 10 to 30 miles per hour. A few showers developing later tonight and a low of 54. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A regular meeting of the Adair County Board of Supervisors is set to take place at 9 a.m. today over the phone. During their session, the board will canvass the votes for a special Nottoway Valley School District revenue purpose statement election that was held last week. Unofficial results at that time indicated the measure passed by a vote of 107 yes to 9 no votes. In other business, the board will receive a quote from Access Systems for their cloud-based phone system. They're also set to discuss letters to entities with regard to COVID relief. At around 9:10 a.m., Kristen Renslow with the City of Stewart will discuss a resolution approving the addition of county property to the City of Stewart's urban renewal area. Later on, Kurt Bean and Joni Fink are expected to express their concerns with regard to regulations pertaining to solar panels and solar farms. Neil Hyde from Infomax will discuss a complete cloud solution, and County Engineer Nick Kaufman will present his weekly report to the Adair County Supervisors and a performance bond for a farm-to-market road rock contract. Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Tully reports that on March 16th, local Democrats will gather via Zoom to participate in the biennial off-year organizational meeting of the County Central Committee. In an ongoing effort to engage the voting public in understanding the policies, procedures, and growth of the Iowa Democratic Party, Tully says they invite registered Democrats to participate in this meeting. Notices will be emailed to those interested in attending either meeting regarding sign-up. The biennial organizational meeting, she says, takes place in odd-numbered years in which there is, which is when elections for party officers and initial planning for the next 2 years takes place. Individuals are not required to be precinct committee persons to be elected to any one of the offices described. However, if they are not precinct committee persons and serve as an executive officer of the County Central Committee, they may not vote during the Central Committee meetings. Those interested in participating in the meeting can contact Sherry Tully at shtolle@gmail.com or 712-243-4861 to receive the Zoom link. State fire officials yesterday declared an open burning ban in Page County effective until further notice due to the dangerous fire conditions. And the ban will only be lifted once the conditions allow. The State Fire Marshal's Office said it received a request from Page County Emergency Management Coordinator Chris Grabert on behalf of the county's fire chiefs for the burn ban. Grabert says the high winds and low relative humidity in the forecast make for dangerous fire conditions in the days ahead. Those violating the burn ban will be subject to a simple misdemeanor charge. A man from Kansas City, Missouri, was arrested Monday morning on an assault charge in Creston. Creston police report 38-year-old Arvid Hayes was taken into custody at 704 New York Avenue around 7:15 a.m. on charges of domestic abuse assault with a simple dominion of control of firearm by a convicted felon, interference with official acts, possession of a controlled substance first offense, and possession of paraphernalia. Hayes was being held in the Union County Jail on $7,200 bond. He was also being held for Missouri on a parole violation. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday issued a report on arrests that covered a period from March 4th to the 7th. Most recently, Sunday evening, 33-year-old Alan James Ferrand was arrested for trespass, refused to vacate first offense. His arrest stems from a call from a man residing in the 20,400 block of Greenview Road in Council Bluffs. The man said an unknown male had entered the residence after pulling into the driveway. By the time deputies arrived, the man had left on foot but was located and then taken into custody. Sunday afternoon, 34-year-old Charles William Walker was arrested in Oakland for driving while barred, habitual offender. Saturday evening, 29-year-old Derek Mullen of Council Bluffs, an inmate at the Pott County Jail, was charged with assault and willful injury resulting in serious injury. His bond set at $10,000, and he's also being held on two felony charges. Saturday afternoon, 31-year-old Loretta Burris Lake was arrested after a warrant check was performed on a woman known to be staying at the Shelby Inn and Motel RV Park. Burris Leck was taken into custody without incident on two warrants for truancy, first offense, for failure to allow children to attend school. Her bond was set at $600. At around 4:10 a.m. on Saturday, 29-year-old Zane Heitrick of Missouri Valley was arrested in Council Bluffs. He was charged with driving while barred, habitual offender, and operating a non-registered vehicle. And early Saturday morning, 32-year-old Ashley Nesbitt was arrested in Pottawatomie County following a traffic stop on I-29 just south of I-680. She was charged with drug paraphernalia possession. Also arrested Saturday morning was 44-year-old Leonard Rankin Jr. for OWI first offense. He was taken into custody at the Casey store in Crescent. Late Thursday morning, 30-year-old Cody Michael Perez was served with a warrant at the Butte County Jail for being a fugitive from justice. He was then returned to the custody of corrections staff. AARP State Director Brad Anderson said the pandemic should prompt public officials to rethink policies that impact older Iowans.
Well, there's no doubt that the virus has shined a bright light on the shortcomings of nursing homes in the entire industry. We all know now that nursing homes are severely understaffed and that direct care workers are severely underpaid.
Anderson says home-based care is a better model for older Iowans.
Home-based care is what most Iowans want. They want to age in place. They want to be at home, and it is a safer option and two beds per room, and that is a fact. And so I think one of the things we need to do when all is said and done after we get this virus under control is we need to take a look at the whole industry and then use COVID as a springboard to rethink long-term care in Iowa.
By 2030, the number of Iowans over the age of 85 is projected to grow to 36%. Anderson said now is the time to start talking about caring for a growing number of elderly Iowans, and that includes their mental as well as physical health.
Well, this has been a long and heartbreaking year for older Americans. The vaccine rollout has been frustrating, especially those, you know, without a computer, and today older Iowans remain socially isolated.
According to state records, nearly 2,200 Iowa nursing home residents have died of COVID. State officials say all those who live or work in an Iowa nursing home who wanted a COVID shot have gotten one. The Iowa Department of Public Health yesterday said there were 141 current COVID cases among nursing home residents and employees. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.